Ladies and gentlemen of Lafayette.
The Hammered Down Show with Jared Jussolaitis is Lafayette's number one sports show.
Yes, I'm excited!
He totally went to Jared.
The voice of Lafayette sports.
The cream of the crop! Nobody does it better.
Send us your thoughts on the text line at 765-447-4080.
Now go to that voodoo that you do so well!
You blew off everything on your Thursday. You blew off everything at work on Friday so that you can sit back and enjoy college basketball as much as possible. Now you got to make up all that work, don't you? Oh, tough stuff. Great show today. Look, Bobby Buckets, the Harrison hero himself, makes his return to the broadcast. Very much looking forward to talking to him. He had a front row seat for all the action at Cambridge Fieldhouse over the weekend. We'll talk to old Bobby and see what he has to say, what his thoughts were. And, we'll get him in on here about 15 minutes, a little less than 15 minutes he'll be on. So you want to stick around for that. Plenty to talk about on the show today. The goalposts are moving. The haters are in absolute shambles over two massive Purdue victories over the weekend. They don't know how to explain it because they know everything. So we got plenty to talk about. Let's start Need to Know News time.
Here's your Need to Know News.
As I said, Boilers into the Sweet 16. You love to see it. Big victory yesterday. 106-67. My God. I mean, that's not fair. Zach Edey, 23 points, 14 rebounds. Trey Kaufman-Wren, what a start out of Trey Kaufman-Wren, man. I'll tell you what. He had 18-8. Boilers will roll into Detroit Friday night to face Gonzaga right now. 5.5-point favorites. 7:39 p.m. on TBS and True TV. What the difference between the broadcasts are? I don't know. Maybe the Impractical Jokers are on the other one. I don't know who's calling it. 31 wins now, school record. Purdue back in the Sweet 16 for the fifth time in 7 years. I mean, just crazy. Zach Edey becomes the first player since Lou Alcindor to go for 50-35 and shoot 65% from the field in his first two NCAA tournament games. Brayden Smith also became the fifth player in NCAA history with 425 points, 250 assists, 200 rebounds in a season. He now sits at 430, 256, and 200 rebounds. Kyle Collinsworth from BYU. UCLA's Lonzo Ball. Some guy from California named Jason Kidd. And Michigan State's Magic Johnson. Did I say that right? Yeah, never heard of any of those. Never heard of those guys. Do some research. Purdue scored 57 points in the second half. Zach Edey scored 2 of those 57 points, too, by the way. Like I said, haters in shambles. Don't know what to do. More basketball tonight, though. The Purdue women's team on the road at Hinkle as they take on the Butler Bulldogs in the second round of the WNIT. Best of luck to Coach Geraldson Company. Baseball dropped their rubber match to Iowa yesterday, 9-6. Boilers gave up 4 runs in the 5th and 6th innings. What are we doing? Oh, had a good chance to take that rubber match against Iowa, who Charters tells me is a top candidate to win in the Big Ten, one of the better teams. That's tough. Camden Gasser, 23-game on base streak continues, though. Keenan Spence homered. Boilers will travel to Terre Haute tomorrow, and they will take on the Sycamores. Softball dropped both games on the weekend at Michigan. They played Saturday and Sunday. They're going to try to avoid the sweep here tonight. So they got a game that first pitch is in about an hour. Hopefully they'll be able to do something in that one. Men's golf looking pretty good. Day two at the Hootie at Bulls Bay. So after they sat in ninth, they moved up six spots today. They're off. They went 16 under today. That's two better than the next best round. That was New Mexico, who sits on top at 16 under. LSU at second at 14 under. And then it's Purdue at 6 under. But they're also five shots clear of South Carolina, who is still on the course as of right now. And let me tell you, Boilermakers rolled today. Your best round, your second best round of the day belonged to Nick Dentino, who sits in third. He moved up 12 spots today. He is at 5 under. That's three off the leader, Matthew Watkins from New Mexico, who's still on the course. He's still got a few, so we'll see. I don't know if he's going to drop three, but still, 3 under, pretty darn good right there. 67 on the day. The actual lowest score of the day belonged to Herman Secchi, who is tied for 11th. He moved up 45 spots, shot a horrendous 76 yesterday. He's so much better than that. So he goes 6 under today, and he sits at 142 with a round of 66. That could hold unless that Watkins kid from New Mexico, who's 7 under right now, still very good. And then also shooting in the 60s today, because there were not a lot of 60s shot today, Sam Easterbrook for Purdue, who moved up 24 spots. He is inside the top 20. Nel Sertani just outside of the top 20 by a stroke. So Boilermakers doing some work on day two. We'll see if they can wrap it up on day three. NFL owners have approved a rule proposal to ban the hip drop tackle. Violation will result in a 15-yard penalty if flagged in games. This all seems very... Seems like it's going to slow the game down. The examples they show in the video, especially the Mark Andrews tackle, the one that put him out for the year, you almost wonder at that angle and come like how you're supposed to take down some of these guys. But Troy Vincent, the NFL's executive vice president of football operations, strongly implied last week that this is going to be enforced similarly to the use of helmet rule, which typically leads to warning letters and fines in the week after a game rather than flags during the play. We'll see. They also passed two other proposals. One of them, I think, very significant here. Teams will receive a third challenge after one successful challenge. Previously, teams had been successful on two challenges, would receive a third. The Lions were the ones that put this in, and that seems about right, right? You get two challenges, and let's say you are pretty sure about what happened, and you know there's not a camera angle that does it justice because people are in the way to lose that third challenge because of something like that. I didn't think it was fair. So, yeah, I think... Look, I'm still of the mind of you should get two challenges and then you get to keep them until, you know, you lose two challenges. But I understand there's the pace of play and all that stuff. At least they don't get, you get one of these things right. I think you should get a third one. That sounds pretty fair. And then some breaking news here. Our old Purdue buddy Kunzo Martin has a new job. He's going to be the head coach at Missouri State, right back there. He's a former coach there. He's been to Missouri. He's been to Tennessee. He's been to Cal. Now, trot on back to Missouri State, where it worked out pretty well for him last time. There you go. That is today's Need to Know News for this Monday, March the 25th. So I'm already looking here at stat lines for this week. Purdue, they were a 4.5-point favorite in this game against Gonzaga, already shot up to 5.5. So we're looking for some value in there. I'm taking Purdue minus the 5.5. Gonzaga actually pretty good offensively. Eighth in effective field goal percentage, Purdue is 13th. Purdue effective field goal percentage defense, 48th versus Gonzaga's 34th. Gonzaga does not force a lot of turnovers, though, which is the nice thing here. They don't commit them, but they don't force them. But where Purdue really cleans up here is the rebound rate. Gonzaga, very bad on the defensive glass. Very bad on the defensive glass. 215th. I'm sorry, it's 98th. That's a turnover rate, it's 215. But 98th, not great here. I still think, look, until otherwise, I don't see why I'm not taking Purdue. And on top of that, this has been the most profitable March Madness tournament in the history of Las Vegas for the player. I know a lot of people don't like seeing chalk win, but people bet chalk. And that's bad for Vegas. Top four seeds are having the best March in recorded history. Look, I stay with it. I stay with it until I get proven otherwise. I continue, if you are, you know, have the ability to take Zach Edey, 20 points, 10 rebounds, Braden Smith with at least 5 assists. I play that every game as a little safety. And I think you can continue to do that. Player points are up on books, too. The problem is not everybody has Purdue lines up. Gonzaga lines up, but no Purdue lines up yet. I keep an eye on that. I think Zach's probably coming in around 23.5 points. Which, again, I'm taking. Never mind, I did find some here. 25.5. Ooh. That's a lot. Trey Kaufman, Ren, you want to ride that hot hand? 6.5. Braden Smith at 12.5. Fletcher Lawyer bumped up to 10.5, which means, well, Lance Jones up to 12.5. Who has struggled a little bit in that points category the last several games. Doesn't mean he's not impactful out there. Braden Smith at 6.5 total assists. Don't hate it. That's my cutoff. But you know you like the Braden Smith points, rebounds, and assists at 24.5 is a lot. Usually I like around 23.5, 24.5 at about even money. I think you can go jump on once it gets to 25.5. I tend to get away from it. But I think early on, take advantage here while you still can, because I think it's only going to go up this week. If you are paying attention to these folks in the national media starting to jump on the bandwagon a little bit, it's going to drive those numbers up. I think the sooner the better you get on that if you're thinking about some of those prop bets. We'll try to dissect them a little bit more tomorrow, get you some better angles, but I don't think it's too bad getting in this early. We're going to take a break. Hang tight. We're going to come right back. I do have Bobby Buckets on with us next. Stick around. More Hammer Down shows next on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. Welcome back. This is The Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. To the Blue Fox Heating Cooling Hammerhead Hotline, Bobby Riddell is on with us. Old Bobby Buckets, one half of the radio broadcast team, along with Rob Blackman, who, by the way, your buddy Rob got himself a nice little write-up I saw. Was it through Awful Announcing I saw that he what Rob wanted to originally be a DJ. And do you ever think that there's an alternate timeline where Rock and Rob Blackman is throwing it to Cardi B song somewhere out there in the multiverse, Rob?
Yeah, that certainly would be something to behold if Rob was out there doing that. But I'm glad he found his path of calling basketball games, because, yeah, he's a great partner to have. And, you know, we have a fun relationship that we're able to go on this Purdue basketball journey together. So it's been a good time.
There's another universe where he's out there playing those big techno festivals and stuff like that with the light shows and all that stuff bouncing up and down, making the bass drop.
Oh, that would have been great. Maybe some long hair. Maybe
yeah.
Grow hair out a little bit.
Just oozing of great life choices. Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Rob. He's fantastic. Just fantastic calls over the weekend, too, my friend. I mean, geez, if you are a Purdue fan who has done nothing but listen to the double-digit seed loss talk over the last several years and, you know, I'm not calling out specific fan bases, but, you know, the ones that just, I can't wait until you don't make it out of the first weekend again, which, you know, 5 out of the last 7 years we've done that. It felt like a lot of vindication this weekend, didn't it?
It sure did. I mean, it was obviously kind of that little monkey on our back there, sitting there as we went into this tournament, considering what had happened, you know, specifically last year, but, of course, some of the previous years as well, with some of those first-round exits to double-digit seeds. And so, yeah, that Grambling State game, it was very nice to obviously push that game out in the second half, win comfortably, and get that just monkey, you know, that double-digit seed monkey off our back or whatever, and just let guys take a deep breath and relax, I think, because I think, understandably so, a good chunk of the guys had quite a bit of nerves going on in that first half of that first game. And I think a lot of those guys settled in that second half, and then obviously, you saw them carry that over to our game yesterday, where, you know, from about that, a little bit past the midway point of the first half, we just kind of kicked it into another gear and never looked back, and it was a really special performance.
You know, yesterday, as good as Zach was, Trey Kopp and Wren was fantastic, been fantastic the last couple of games. But the bench really showed off here. Camden Heidi had himself a great game, 15 minutes, was 4-6. Had that great putback dunk, hit a three as well, 10 points. You know, Miles was great coming off the bench there, too. But he went, was it like 3-for-5, I think? Sam King's getting points out here. I mean, it was just the bench really showed up in the minutes that they had to play, because, look, it's nice to be up and get them in, but to get them out there on the court for 15 minutes and have them do what they were doing was, I mean, that bodes well for Purdue going down the stretch.
It sure does. It's that those guys coming off the bench really give Purdue a nice athletic punch. You know, Miles and Cam, obviously, from a verticality standpoint, really give you that. But then, you know, Mason as well, like those three guys all shoot the three ball at a really high level. And so from an offensive standpoint, when you bring those guys in, you're not having any drop off as far as, you know, shooting or floor spacing goes. I feel like Miles and Cam are both becoming really solid decision makers on the perimeter, you know, knowing when to throw the ball inside, when to take their open shots. That's been a very nice development with those two guys as the season's gone on. You know, those guys didn't play afraid whatsoever in their first NCAA tournament. You know, pretty impressive for them to come out, no fear, be able to step up and make shots, use their athleticism. I thought it was nice to see Mason make a couple shots as well. And then like a guy like Fletcher Lawyer, you know, kind of under the radar a little bit, just basically hasn't missed a shot, it feels like, in a month. Has 6 assists, no turnovers yesterday as well. Just a really solid floor game. I feel like his defense, albeit is never going to be probably something that is one of his strengths. I think, you know, he's made some strides on that end of the floor as far as, you know, becoming a better defender. And, yeah, that was just an all-around great team performance. Trey Kopp and Wren really setting the tone early with those couple and-ones was big as far as when the team was, you know, scuffling a little bit out the gate.
We're talking with Bobby Riddell here on the Blue Fox Heating Cooling Hammerhead Hotline. Boilers rolling into the Sweet 16. You were around this team this weekend. Did anything feel
Well, different? Do you feel like there's a different kind of tone? Do you feel like they kicked in a different gear? What was up this weekend? I know Utah State, Grambling, fine teams and everything, maybe not as caliber of the Big Ten, but it just seems like it was a different gear this weekend, Bob.
No, sure. I do think Purdue had a pretty business-like approach. I think those guys were extremely determined, after what happened last year to, after waiting 365 to get back to this point, they were determined to, right their wrongs, and they came out and played some emphatic basketball. And so, yeah, it was a pretty business-like approach from the guys and the staff, and that was obviously good to see, and it paid dividends because the team really responded in a big way. And you could even tell from Zach's press conference yesterday, he feels like they haven't really accomplished much yet. He didn't return to make just a Sweet 16, so they still feel like more work to be done, and understandably so. There's a big Final Four prize here coming up on the line this weekend, and it's going to start with Gonzaga, which of course is a team that we played already in Hawaii earlier this year. We were able to defeat them by 10, so a similar result would, of course, be wonderful, but, beating a team a second time is always difficult, and it's going to be an interesting matchup. They're playing quite a bit differently than, at least from a lineup standpoint and a personnel standpoint, than when the first time we played them. So, that's, of course, going to change things, but, we're a different team as well, and it'll be interesting to see how the game unfolds.
How nice was it since the Crossroads Classic got nuked? How nice was it for Purdue to be able to get Arizona into Gainbridge Fieldhouse back in December? Then to have that experience pay off, I think, for Purdue in being comfortable. They've played there in the past, I get it. But to have it there in season, to be familiar with everything and how it feels and what it's like to shoot. I mean, you were a shooter for your entire career. What's it like to be able to have that kind of familiarity in a place like Gainbridge in season?
It certainly can't hurt, that's for sure. Shooting in those NBA arenas is obviously much better than shooting in some of those like NFL arena or domes or football fields that they'll get to when they if Purdue is fortunate enough to get to the Final Four, where they often have those Final Four venues played at in those football venues. But that being said, shooting in any type of different background is going to have a little bit of an acclimation period. And I think it obviously is a reason why many teams play better and shoot better at home, because they're of course just more familiar with the shooting background, and those things play a factor. So it was good for Purdue to get that game and obviously play well in it against Arizona. I'm sure they had the good vibes as they rolled into Gainbridge Fieldhouse this past weekend.
Bobby, Matt Painter definitely caught the ear of a lot of journalists over the weekend with his comments after the game on Sunday about, some people having to take a test in order to be able to write and commentate on basketball, a basketball test. Paint pretty well. How tough would that test be, and could Bobby Riddell pass a Matt Painter basketball quiz?
Well, I certainly would hope I could, since I would have a leg up on a lot of individuals, since I was able to play.
That doesn't mean I see a lot of people that played this beautiful game that still talk out the side of their head like they're morons, but, it is what it is.
Yeah, I definitely would have a leg up on most, of course, playing for Coach and now being around the program from the radio side. And, Coach Painter, he's changed and evolved, throughout his career. Since when I played for him at the beginning of his career at Purdue to now, and that's been cool to see him, evolve and fine tune things and really try to perfect, his craft, and feels like he's really in the prime of his career right now. Of course, with where he's got this Purdue program, and he definitely doesn't take too kind to the people who are trying to, diminish what Zach Edey's accomplishing, because it's truly incredible as far as what he's doing, as far as the stats he's putting up. 21-11 in the first half. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, three assists, just literally stuff that anybody would do. People would go crazy to try to have that stat line for a full game, and he's doing it in an NCAA tournament setting in the first half. It's just, he's a special player. His size, his, motor at his size, his stamina, his agility, I mean, he ran the floor one time yesterday. He ended up getting fouled at the rim as he tried to go for a dunk. But at about mid-court,
hard foul too, yeah.
Yeah, pretty hard foul. But at mid-court, he put it into another gear that was really impressive to see him get kind of motoring downhill that way. You know, he's got more, you know, speed and burst than I think, you know, he gets credit for. I think obviously sometimes he's trying to, you know, he's trying to not go all out all the time from like maybe a sprinting standpoint, of course, because you have to try to make sure you got some gas left in the tank. But on occasion, when he's able to ramp it up, it was pretty impressive to see him get going in the open court like that. And so, yeah, special player, and Coach Painter, you know, he knows how special he is.
What year did you graduate, Bob?
2009.
So you talk about knowing, you know, playing for Paint and seeing him now and the evolution. What's the biggest change you think from when you were there in 09 to where we're at right now?
Wow. I mean, there's so many changes. It's hard to just pick one, but, you know, offensively the scheme, you know, is drastically different. You know, there's still a lot of the core principles as far as player movement and ball movement and things of that nature, but they definitely are much more set play driven compared to when I played, which was they were much more motion driven. And, you know, that ability to be such a well-oiled machine from a set standpoint is definitely impressive. But then I would also say just the way he's, you know, restructured a lot of the coaching with his assistants, where now he's gone to more of that, you know, football mindset with kind of coordinators and each guy on the staff having a set role. And that way, you know, both the players and himself kind of know, okay, which coach am I going to lean on for certain situations, offense, defense, specialties, personnel, et cetera. And I think that's definitely been a really nice change as far as guys understanding their role on the staff and, you know, where they need to be able to devote their attention. And I think that from a player standpoint, if you got a defensive question, you know which guys to go and chop it up with and deliberate with. So I think it's a really nice adjustment he's made too on the staff wise.
The Harrison High legend, Bobby Riddell, here on the Blue Fox Heating and Cooling Hammerhead Hotline. He'll be the only former player with better seats than Jaden Ivey in Detroit, I think. That's safe to say, right?
Yeah, the seats we get from a radio standpoint are pretty awesome. There's no doubt about that.
I'm Leonardo sure DiCaprio. Every time I see you up there, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio. There he is. Right there. There's Bobby. All the time, man. I love doing it. I love seeing you guys there. I love listening to you guys when I get the opportunity as well on the radio call, because you and Rob do such a tremendous job. So, folks, make sure you're tuning in. I can sync it up with the Varsity app, too, so which is really, really cool. I always love doing that. So make sure you guys take advantage of it. Bobby Riddell, always a pleasure, my friend. Safe travels to Detroit here, and then hopefully we start booking plans for Arizona soon.
Absolutely, yeah. Hopefully still a lot more basketball to be played, and it should be an exciting weekend in Detroit. Thanks, Jared.
Big thank you to Bobby Buckets there. It's the Hammer Down Show, 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. You can always text on the Blue Fox Heating Cooling Hammerhead Hotline at 765-447-4080. tell you this, there's a lot I want to talk about. I did want to get to the NFL's new hip drop rule thing, and it's just, maybe that's a whole other thing for a whole other day. But, you know, Purdue advancing into the Sweet 16, busting up a lot of the narratives that the haters had here, that's the early exits. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. What was that number we had at the top of the show? That this is Purdue's, fifth time in the last 7 years in the Sweet 16? But because of last year's 16 seed loss, that just now gets knocked down to, oh, you never get out of the first round. You never get out of the first weekend. Purdue winning without Zach Edey yesterday. For a good chunk of that game, when he's in, he's dominant. But at the same time, the stats back it all up. There's not a huge free throw discrepancy. Zach Edey's not shooting 20 free throws in the game. The Zach Edey, you know, free throw merchant thing, that's out the window. Hard weekend for the haters to explain it away. Now here's the new narrative. It's boring. How can you watch this? It's boring. I'm seeing this one all over Twitter. Oh, it's a boring brand of basketball. Yeah, no, I hate seeing those sets run. And then maybe a two-man game with an alley-oop to a big man who slams it down hard. That's horrible. I hate seeing physical interior basketball being played. Terrible. Horrible. I mean, the only entertaining form of basketball is, guards that just come down and chuck up threes or go ISO and try to go one-on-one with a guy every time. Yeah, that's the only level of basketball that anybody can enjoy. Stop it. I mean, it's just amazing how far we've come from the beginning of the season with the he's too tall narrative. Now I love Matt Painter calling that out. And this is not the first time he's called it out this season. But now you get a lot of the big journals like, oh, who's saying that? Nobody says that. No, we trust me, we're well aware of people saying it. Because we're here. We live it every day. It's not just some fool on Twitter with like an Illini handle or something. And the big national brands, very visible media personalities, whether they're journalists or not, stoking those flames because they watch one game. We watch them all. Again, and I sympathize with a lot of national media people that have to cover the whole swath of college basketball because you simply cannot have good in-depth takes on 60-some-odd teams by March. You're not watching that much basketball. So like, I tend to take it easy. I know some people are getting at Wally Szczerbiak and stuff like that. Again, most of those guys are doing NBA stuff. So when they say something that seems ridiculous or dumb, and you say, have you not watched the game? They haven't! But to sit here and say that, Matt Painter is just pulling stuff out of thin air seems ridiculous to me. By the way, we asked you guys on the Twitter account today. Matt Painter had the comments about, they should take a basketball test before you're allowed to, before you're allowed to tweet about it, before you're allowed to cover it. I asked Jens, what would you score on a Matt Painter basketball quiz? So be honest. Like it's anonymous. I don't know. But close to 600 people on this thing. 43% Ian said you'd get an A. 28% said you were a B. 18%, I'm sorry. I think you're being very honest. Said a C. 9% said a D to an F. I like to think the Purdue basketball fan is pretty knowledgeable. We've talked about that before. And I think you are. I think a majority of us, though, are in the B. I think that number should reverse. 43%, I think, should have said B. 28% should have said A. But I applaud you guys that said you were a C or a D to an F. I applaud you guys. There's a lot of nuances to the game. I mean, I've explained the over and back rule a couple of times. I get that. There's little things. But still, again, it was this indignant like, nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying Zach. I saw the Barstool. Nobody's saying Zach Edey. Anybody says Zach Edey is dumb or can't play, isn't any good at basketball. They're dumb. That's what I mean. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to separate this. He's only good because he gets all of these fouls. Like, it's the ref thing, even though you sit here and you point out that he gets more calls by in out-of-conference games than he does in in-conference games. Because, you know, there's that whole, it's the Big Ten refs. Once he won't have Big Ten refs, whatever that's supposed to be, you know, they're done. There's another narrative that got cooked. But now, apparently, I'm supposed to separate the what they consider the reality of he gets all the calls. As it's not a review on if he's good or not. So apparently he's good to them, but he gets all of these calls and it's not fair. If he was just officiated properly, fairly. And then we're what, a minute in that Grambling game before he got tackled from behind? He's just officiated fairly. But hey, no, somebody on some account pulled out one play and said, this was not called a foul. Look at this as I freezed it. But somehow we've slipped into this. It's like those YouTube guys. You ever see, you scrolling through your social media, you ever see those videos pop up? That's a prank, bro. It's a prank. Don't freak out. It's just a that's what they're doing now. No. We weren't saying that he was bad. We were just saying that he was bad. But now, because it looks like there's a decent chance they can make the Final Four, and we need access to people like that when we go out there. You know, it's big weekends, big content stuff. Now, all of a sudden, we're gonna flip the script here a little bit. And now we're very pro Purdue. We're very pro Zach Edey. Yeah, he gets a call here and there. It's not a big deal. That's not what you were saying a month ago. It's not what you're saying last week. But I tweeted this out on Sunday. I said, you wait and see. You watch this narrative change. Because it's going to come from the big people because they need the access. They want to be on good terms. It's sad. You'll get more and more of these, oh, I'm just saying that for engagement. Okay. That what we're doing? Oh, it's just to rile us all up. No, it's the only reason. The only reason I sit here and watch Purdue games and then I get clips of them and then I got to go back on my DVR and play it back and then I got to tweet it. And it's because I don't like them and it's boring and nobody watches it. But I'm going to spend all this time to do that just because I want some people to retweet me. And I'm the idiot because I engage with you. Telling you you're dumb? Okay. Hell of a take to put that much effort into getting somebody to get riled up so you can just turn around and tell them, oh, you got all riled up because I wasted my time doing dumb things to try to minimize the people you root for. It's bizarre. At least with the national guys, I understand it because they want the access. I get that stuff. And yeah, there's a very big difference between Dan Le Batard calling somebody the plague and somebody with another school's fandom all over their Twitter account putting clips and putting up there and saying dumb stuff. I can mute those people. That's easy. The Big J people do have a responsibility because that there is something your program could have to wear. If people like Le Batard and Titus, if they ramp up the content and continue to say, it's boring. Nobody should want to watch this. Nobody should want to play like this. Nobody, recruits see that kind of thing. And that hurts your brand. That's very real world implications that can have. Because people believe it. Because as much as we watch Purdue basketball and we have people in the area that watch Big Ten, a majority of the country is not locked into it, to Purdue basketball. Now, they're getting very acquainted with it now, and some of them probably are aware of Zach Edey and they are aware that Purdue is good, but maybe they don't know a lot of the minutia, and then here come these people that try to convince them that, no, you don't want to get into this. No, you don't want to like this. And the average fan, again, you get into that quiz right there, and I'm telling you, they're C, D, and F folks we'll just go, well, those guys know what they're talking about, right? Because they're big national people. They should know. It's tough out there. It's tough. All right, we're going to take one last quick break and come right back. And if we got time, things we missed next on 101.7 The Hammer. Hey. Welcome back. It is the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. Big thank you to Bobby Riddell for being on with us here. Of course, you can always go back and take a listen to his stuff from the interview here on, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple and Google Podcasts. Go find us on Twitter. We always have the link up there, the Facebook page. Make sure you like it, and that way you do not miss out on any of that stuff. Want to get into some of the things we missed. I do want to go one more time. Best of luck out to Coach Gerald's and company as they compete tonight in the women's WNIT down at Butler. Tickets were like $8. So, I mean, if you got the means, by all means, get on down there and root them on. I don't understand this, and I've never seen a family more wanting to invite negativity with their actions and words than I do the Sanderses. You had two things from them today. Dion says, you know, for his boys, he's going to do the Eli thing here. There's some places he's not going to let them go. Like, they'll do what they want. They'll go wherever they want to in the NFL draft. Good luck. I mean, is Tudor going to be a... Was he like a top three guy at his position coming out next year? I don't know. He's got a whole nother year to convince me, but I think it's a bold statement to be saying I'm going to manipulate things the way that I want to now. And then Robert Griffin III said this is all about player empowerment. Look, not everybody's going to be able to come out into the draft and decide where they're going to go. Well, I didn't understand that. And then today, Shador took a shot at 6A Texas high school football players. Says all of the kids were going big, you know, Power 5, and they went to big 6A Texas 6A schools. I don't see those same kids around. I don't see them excelling in their programs or whatever they're doing. So I've always been against the odds, like, in different ways. Your dad is, like, one of the greatest athletes of our generation. You've had a lot of advantages, and you went to a very nice private school. I don't understand why you have to have this narrative. Everything is against me when you have those advantages, whether it's people, whether it's your situation. I never seen so much thirst to try to prove that you're an underdog. It's bizarre to me that you need that to convince people that you are the most hated. But it doesn't, it seems like a waste of energy to me. That's just me. That's going to do it for us here on the Hammer Down Show. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock, talking local sports on 101.7 The Hammer.